Children, brace for impact!
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen. We got some new news recently.
New news.
But it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
because
it's been a few weeks.
Yeah. So we found out that there will be a new Star Trek series on CBS.
All Access,
that's what it is. Yeah, on that thing. And it will be featuring Jean-Luc Picard, our favorite captain.
He really is.
I'm so excited.
I do adore all of the other captains. I think they're awesome. But, I mean, Patrick Stewart. I mean, Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes, so. I agree. And I am kind of curious to know where they're going to take him. Currently, I am reading the autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
And I'm wondering if it will be kind of like a jumping off point for the series. There were a couple other Star Trek books that I was in the process of reading and thought I would review, but I never got any feedback about the one book that I did review, so I wasn't really sure if people were into that. So if you want me to continue that, please write in and let us know.
Okay, so...
There's been a lot of angst from people, which is surprising.
I want to stay away from the angst part.
Yes.
I was just talking to my husband yesterday about how... Well, we love Rogue One, so we were watching the behind the scenes of Rogue One, and we were talking about how all the different actors are so cool, and they have like a whole other careers outside of Star Wars, and how awesome that is. Like, the woman who plays Jyn Erso is going to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg in a biopic this winter. I mean, that's cool. That's like super awesome. I think that this type of thing where a genre actor is able to do other, you know, be respected as an actor, I think goes back to Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. I think Patrick Stewart showed you can do something in a genre world, and that doesn't mean your career is dead. That means that's just one of the things that you did, and you can go on and do whatever. And I think he helped take the stigma for actors off of doing genre TV and movies, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
I trust him so much as a person and as an actor that I think he wouldn't do it unless there was like something good, like unless the story was really good. Like, mm-hmm. I think possibly if it was anyone else, I'd be like,
a little iffy on it.
I wonder what it's going to be like and why they're doing this. But I trust him so much that I feel like he wouldn't do it unless it was really cool. And so I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the whole thing. I do, in general, I have a little bit of angst isn't the right word, but I worry about this idea that it always has to be something that already exists. Like, if we have Star Trek Discovery, why does it have to be connected to Spock at all?
Right.
Why can't she just be a Vulcan or a, you know, like, why? Like, that's kind of why I liked Rogue One. I keep bringing that up, but I just happened to watch it today. I like the fact that, except for a little bit with Vader, because of the time period that it was in, nobody's connected to anybody, really. You have a little bit, like very, very slight connections. They mention someone. You see the guy that's in the cantina scene as like a little wink, wink. Hey, if you're a fan, you know, this is something for you. But it's not dependent on these things that already exist. It has its own life. And I feel like, except for the fact that I trust Patrick Stewart implicitly as a human, I'm like, why can't we just do something new? Have something new and have it be like in TNG when Bones was on the first episode of TNG. It's like, here's a little nod, a wink. Every once in a while you have maybe like Spock did a couple of episodes. That's fine. That's totally fine because it's in the same universe and it's working together or whatever. But why do we have to keep rebooting things that already exist? Why can't we just do something new in this world? So that's my completely bipolar opinion.
Well, we're not really rebooting because it's a continuation from as far, from what I understand, they're picking up after the last TNG movie. They may do flashbacks to his earlier life, but okay. I don't think they're rebooting TNG. Mm-hmm. And I think what's awesome about it is that we get to move forward in the timeline rather than revisiting these periods from Star Trek past.
Right.
Like, I want to know what happened after TNG.
Yeah.
You know, and so it looks like we're going to be heading that way.
That's good.
This allows Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes, LeVar Burton and Michael Dorn to return. I don't think Brent Spiner is because,
you know, I
old
think
Data.
They could have Brent Spiner back as a different character. You could have him back as like a Sung character or something, you know, just not as Data. I mean, I think that I would suspend my disbelief to just have him back, you know, or if they did a CGI character, I would let that go. I mean, I know that people would scream about that, but I'd let it go. Just so I could have Data. I mean, I really would. I would do it. I
or
would just
Data
be like,
2, whatever his name was.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want. He can be airlocked.
Out.
Yeah, we can airlock that guy. that's enough.
He's out. All right. So we have updates. We're in the future. But
yes.
So we had some news about the Picard television show that we wanted to get in this episode.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to read it?
Yeah, I mean, I read it before. It looks really interesting. You know, it's always weird with these because the timeline's been so messed with that
I know.
You don't really know what you're getting. It is interesting. They talked about All Good Things. The future that you saw wasn't the real future. So, or not the real future, but it's a different timeline. So, but they're saying it happens, 20 years after
Nemesis. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I think that makes sense. It seems to chronologically work. I don't know about you, but when you got the J.J. Abrams track, one of the things that made me the most upset, I mean, it's fine on its own, but thinking about the idea that those kind of changes have a huge effect on what TNG would be, you know, in that timeline, it really wouldn't exist or may not exist the way we think it will, you know.
Right.
So I feel like handling TNG as its own thing and in its own timeline is perfect. And, you know, and also because these characters are so beloved and Picard specifically. What was your takeaway?
I just enjoyed hearing about, you know, the possibilities of what could be going on in that future. And also, we don't even know if Picard is a captain anymore. I believe in one of the comics, he's ambassador to Vulcan. So, and also we know from, I'm not sure, I can't remember what television series it is. I think it may have been TNG. Or it could have been Voyager. I don't know. Okay. I get mixed up. But that the Klingons are a part of the Federation at that point in time.
Yeah.
And also, it's tying in. It could tie in with the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films about, you know, Spock disappearing.
Right. You because know, that is something that's supposed to happen. Yeah,
you know,
obviously.
Supernova that destroyed
Romulan.
Romulus. So,
yeah.
I saw an article about more speculation, but it was based on a response that Patrick Stewart had that he posted about his character and how he just over the years had always loved hearing stories about how, you know, Jean-Luc Picard inspired them to go into science or become leaders. And he felt like it was time for him to bring that character back. And seeing bright and positive futures, it's inspired people to change the course of reality, you know, of what's going on.
Right. Another thing we talked about and what we're going more into on Anomaly, thinking about what this Trek has to say about our current situation. So how sci-fi usually, what it really reflects isn't the future as much as the present. Like, what is it going to say about what's going on today? You know, are they going to be a little too heavy-handed? Are they going to handle it good? You know, hearing him speak about how TNG originally went, that a lot of his philosophies are very similar to that of Picard, and that his personal approach to life kind of permeates the character even more than some other characters might. So I feel like he wouldn't sign up for it. I think I said that before, but he wouldn't sign up for it if it wasn't something that was going to be positive. So I really like that idea. But like you said, nowadays everything's dark. everything's dark and darker. I'm just curious, because even the movies had like a slightly darker tone than the TV show did. And I know, I mean, the times have changed in general, so we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be interesting to see, because the other part is that Discovery's in this same timeline, we think.
Yeah.
Or it might not be. I don't know. So that might even like play in somehow, because you have these characters that are very long lived and everything like that. So I'm very curious to see what happens. And
yeah, it'll be great to fold in all of the television series together. And, you know, it helps to make everything more cohesive. And, you know, when they can refer back to something that happened in DS9 or Voyager.
Yeah.
And maybe even see some of the characters from those series pop up. And Q.
Oh, yes.
You know, Q is responsible for all good things, you know, him going off into the alternate timeline.
Realities, yeah.
Yeah. That would be good to see.
I agree. I really think it's going to be interesting. And I really do like how the, you know, special effects have come such a long way, and seeing the Vision of Star Trek that we are familiar with already, getting this kind of a reskin is kind of cool. It's kind of like seeing an old game getting getting updated, you know? So I'm excited about that. Like and that it's continuing. Mm-hmm. So I guess also I'm nervous because, you know, you have a certain vision of how people are, not necessarily just Picard, but some of the other characters too, which, you know, some of them have to come up. And I just like, you know, are they going to take someone off the rails? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously you can't have Brent Spiner in there really, but maybe you can some other way. But anyway, I'm so excited about it. And since I'm already paying for Discovery, I guess it really doesn't matter. I can't really complain about that. That's off the table. They got money out of us already. So alas, I mean, I'm still a little bit annoyed, but I wonder if they're going to do like the first episode of this on TV like they did.
Probably.
That'd be interesting to see. But now we're all kind of like conditioned to it. So maybe they won't even do that. So, I mean, this is the way that it's going, is like all streaming all the time. So pick and choose the universes you want type deal. So, oh yeah. Did you see the thing? Speaking of Star Trek, the Emmy.
Arts Emmy. I did. I wanted to thank you for reminding me. I did. It made me.
It was it
made
me too.
A little bit of a glimpse.
Me too. It was so cool. Star Trek as a whole doesn't necessarily get that much critical acknowledgement, and so even though it was about the tech, really, it was still an award for the whole thing. I think I'm going to take it like that.
Oh, so. Yeah, definitely. It was interesting to see the reaction of the audience. You can tell which ones were excited about the acknowledgement, and then there are others like, oh my God.
I'm glad. I don't care. I mean, that's...
I don't care either, but it just illustrates, you know, the people who don't get it versus the people who get it.
I know.
And the whole reason why science fiction isn't recognized a lot in these awards, it's disappointing that it's so overlooked. But this tribute was great. I loved it. I'll record a clip of it so that you can hear it at the end of the podcast if you haven't seen it. All right. So do we want to do some podcast news and talk about our review that we got?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll talk about podcast news first. Way back in the day when we switched from hosting our own podcast on the same server as our website, we switched to Libsyn, which only hosts podcasts. And it's been great. We love it. But iTunes needed to not lose track of us, because if we had just switched, then we would have lost all of our listeners. So we had to use this thing called FeedBurner to redirect our podcast address for iTunes. And that way we wouldn't lose subscribers there. Turns out Google has acquired FeedBurner several years ago, and I've known this was coming for a long time, but they are going to at some point probably discontinue FeedBurner. So it's up to us to fix that so that you don't lose the show. I just wanted to let you know that that's coming up. We're going to do that. We're going to redirect our podcast address again from FeedBurner back to Libsyn. And that way, nobody gets lost, hopefully. But if you do stop getting updates from us, please let me know what you're using, and I will look into it and try to help you get our show back in your podcatcher or whatever it is you're using to listen to us. So that's coming up probably after this episode is released, I'll do it for the next episode. What do we want to talk about next? The review?
Yeah. I mean, and
let's play it first. We'll play the review in a dramatic way.
Yes, this is a dramatization.
By my friend Chris from the Star Wars Stacks.
Doomstar iTunes review by T. Stewart, entitled Nope. Nope. Not sure why podcasters think it's dandy to have their toddlers in the room while they're recording. Since most podcasters I've heard are aggravated by traffic or pet noises and try to avoid them. Unlimited power, you will die for having your child in the room.
Go to bed, you little bastard. No children in the podcast room. Daddy, I'm sick. Too bad. Don't want to upset my listeners. Sleep drunk.
Let me preface this by saying, in the decade that we've been podcasting, we have never received a bad review. So I kind of feel like we've made the big time for getting a 2-star iTunes review over this thing.
It was not like a substantive review. No. It was not a negative substantive review because it was about Lorelai. It was just kind of strange because most of the people that I've talked to are saying, we want more, Lorelai. We want more. And we are not shy about the fact that we have children and they sometimes appear on the show. Not often, but they do. It's just funny that it's like, that's all it was. It's like, why did you even bother? That's right. The thing. Like, what? Because like Jim listens to Bill Burr. I don't know if you're familiar. He's a comedian. I mean, they curse a lot and they talk about kind of extreme things. And it's like, if you were to listen to one of them and then be like, I don't like all the cursing. It's not like they're hiding that. You know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Anyway, whatever. It's just so ridiculous.
The
people are so funny.
The other thing is, if you go back and listen, it's an evolution of our lives. We weren't always moms. We became moms. And to keep podcasting, you got to juggle a lot to keep this thing in the air. Sometimes we have to have the kids in the same room. Have you ever tried to herd children out? And if your husband's not available to watch them, there's no podcast.
Right.
So either, see?
Yep. Yeah. It's like right on cue.
Yeah. So either you do the show with the children in the room or you don't do one at all. And
yeah. And sometimes that is the choice. So It's fine. It's everybody is entitled to their opinion. It's just funny to me that particular opinion was necessary to share. Just move along.
Yeah. That's the thing that really got me is most podcasters are aggravated by traffic noise or pets, as if toddlers are in that category.
Well, that is so funny that you said that, because that's what my thought was too, is that the way that he framed the complaint was more like, oh, I hear feedback. Like it was like somehow that it was some sort of like, oh, extra noise that annoyed him. And I'm like, you realize that's a person? Like, it's a person. Anyway.
The other thing is, I think a lot of times people get used to these highly produced, corporate-funded podcasts where it sounds like NPR.
I do love NPR.
I do. I do love those kinds of shows.
Those podcasts,
There's a huge segment of the podcasting community that are indie podcasters recording from their homes.
Right.
We have graduated quite a bit from we used to be.
Yeah.
And we never leave anything in the show we think it would be distracting. We wanted to add to the comedy and we thought she was entertaining. So that's why we left it in. And that's basically all I wanted to say is that. And also a guy would not say, nope. Whatever. All right. Well, we'll be back probably in another month. We already recorded, but I need to talk to you about what that sounds like. So.
Oh, no.
It was a downer episode. Because I think we just weren't
in it,
in the mood. Yeah. So it's kind of like
hilarious.
So Wesley.
We do need to be like more positive.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of that.
Right.
So, good.
So our next episode will be about Wesley Crusher. It's a character analysis and history of Wesley Crusher and the impact he had on our lives as adolescents.
And here we are again, becoming a Star Trek TNG podcast.
Right?
Well, I don't know how we do it. We just, it just happens.
Yeah, it's because we love it. And also, it's in the news right now. So
Solo just came out on digital. So if you haven't seen it and you watch it now that it's on home, go back and listen to our Solo episode because we really liked it. So do that.
Yes. If you have any comments or questions or suggestions for future episodes, you can get in contact with us by emailing us directly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. And just comment in the show notes, contact us through our contact form. Or there's a third option, which I happen to prefer because it's fun to play, you know, the voice of our audience on our show. You can call us on our Google voicemail line at 432-363-4742. And we're on Facebook. Join our group. I'll add a link in the page for that. And also like our page. Thank you for listening. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Hey guys, it's Jen coming at you about 2 to 2.5 weeks after recording that Picard episode update with Angela. I'm sorry about the delay between releases. It's getting crazy, people. If you follow me on Facebook, you probably know that I have my own business. And I've recently experienced an influx of business, and that's a good thing for me, but not so good for Anomaly. That doesn't mean we want to allow this to continue to happen. So if you are a podcast editing expert, we would love to talk to you. We've been talking about doing a Patreon campaign to raise funds to pay an editor to do a really good job on our show and make us sound awesome and help us get the show out on time on a consistent basis. So if you can do that, or you know someone who can, please direct them to us at girlygeeks@gmail.com, girlygeeks@gmail.com. The other thing I wanted to tell you about was the trip I took to Alamo City Comic Con just this past weekend. I brought my niece, who's 14. It was her first big convention, and she had a lot of fun, I think. She got to meet John Barrowman. Funny how this happened. First of all, I didn't know who he was. I know you're probably rolling your eyes at me, but I don't watch Arrow, and I'm not a big Doctor Who fan. She is. She was super excited about getting to see his panel. I had heard nothing about how raunchy he can be sometimes at his panels. And if I had known, I probably wouldn't have taken her, but then she wouldn't have had the experience that she had. The panel got moved to another room after everybody found their seats and sat down. Then we all had to get up and go to another room. And when we got there, he was apologetic and said that because we had to do that, he wanted to do things differently and let the people who came to the microphone to ask their questions come up on stage with him. And my niece was the fourth person in line, and she got to go up there. She had squee face whenever she hugged him. She was so excited. But that was an experience. He was kind to her, and he cleaned it up for her. And he pointed me out in the audience. He said, "Where is your aunt? Is it okay that she's on stage with me right now? Because you know how this is." Like, I didn't know, but okay. I'm going to be sharing that with you in a bonus episode coming up pretty soon. Red alert. Not kid-friendly, and I won't be bleeping anything because I don't think that would be fair to him. It's his personality. If you are sensitive to that, or if your kids are going to be listening with you, just skip that one, maybe. But if you're not offended by foul language or topics of a sexual nature, then definitely check out that panel that I put up in the feed. My niece and I also went to the Jonathan Frakes panel. He asked us not to record, so alas, I can't share that panel with you, but I was primarily there to find out what news he could give us about Discovery or the new Picard series that Angela and I have just discussed. He couldn't share anything, which I wasn't expecting anyway, but I thought maybe he might throw out a tidbit here or there, but it wasn't to be. He did ask permission, and the powers that be said, denied. But hopefully it'll be coming, you know, coming soon, more information will maybe we'll be coming down the pipeline. And I have a feeling that he's in some way involved with the Picard series because of the way he was acting. So we shall see. We will try to be back soon. Angela and I are going to the Texas Renaissance Festival this coming weekend, which is November 2nd through the 4th, I believe, 3rd or 4th. And hopefully maybe we can get together, or I'll bring my recording device and we can record around the campfire and you'll have that too. If you need a graphic designer or someone to help you rebrand your podcast, your business, or even just your personal brand, get in touch with me. Go check out creativehero.net, and there you can find my portfolio and information about my my background as a designer and my process. There's a lot of stuff there, so go check it out if you're into that kind of thing, and maybe we can work together. Thank you so much for staying subscribed. I know that the episodes have been hit and miss and few and far between, but we're hoping to change that. Please hang on. Please stay subscribed. Continue to tell your friends about the show. And if you like us, go to iTunes and give us a really good review, but only if you like us. This is Jen. Thanks again for listening. We love you guys, and we'll try to be back soon.
On March 11th, 1964, Gene Roddenberry wrote three words on a blank page: Star Trek is. What followed was half a century of stories, unbridled by the constraints of time or space, but always a reflection of what it means to be human.
They used to say that if man were meant to fly, he'd have wings. But he did fly. He discovered he had to. I don't believe we can stop. In fact, through all our existence, the frightened and faint-hearted have been warning not to push any further, not to learn any more, not to hope, grow, and exceed themselves. I don't believe we can stop. I don't believe we're meant to.
What a piece of work is man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculty, in form, in moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god. I see us one day becoming that.
It is the unknown that defines our existence. We are constantly searching, not just for answers to our questions, but for new questions. We are explorers. We explore our lives, day by day. And we explore the galaxy, trying to expand the boundaries of our knowledge. Not to conquer with weapons or with ideas, but to coexist and learn.
Live long and prosper.
In a part of space where there are few rules, it's more important than ever that we hold fast to our own. We have to have something stable to rely on, and we do. The principles and ideals of the Federation. As far as I'm concerned, those are the best allies we could have.
We're going to stumble, make mistakes, I'm sure more than a few before we find our footing. But we're going to learn from those mistakes. That's what being human is all about.
The only way to defeat fear is to tell it no. We will not take shortcuts on the path to righteousness. We will continue exploring, discovering new worlds, new civilizations. That is the United Federation of Planets.
Space.
The final frontier.
All right, everybody, back to your posts.
Let's see what's out there.
Set a course.
Heading.
Tonight we have some of the crew from Star Trek Discovery out here in the audience. They are nominated for prosthetic makeup and sound editing. Please stand and be acknowledged for your exceptional work. I mean, imagine Vulcans without, come on. If any TV series encapsulates the Creative Arts Emmys, it has to be Star Trek. From its use of prosthetics and special effects to otherworldly sounds and vision, It pretty much embraces every craft being honored tonight. Casting, music, editing, costumes, hairstyling, stunts, and more. Thousands of below-the-line and behind-the-camera people have helped create these amazing shows over the past 52 years. It would be impossible to fit them all on this stage, but I'm delighted to say we have over 100 crew members from all six of the Star Trek series with us tonight. From Discovery. Voyager. Enterprise. Deep Space Nine. The Next Generation. And the original series, Star Trek. Wow, not bad, y'all. Wow. I'll do my best, Spock. I see they are pleased. Over the last 52 years, Star Trek series have won 30 Emmys and garnered an historic 146 Emmy nominations. Now, in addition, we have a few more people we'd like to recognize.
Representing the original series, Ensign Chekov, Walter Koenig. Representing Star Trek The Next Generation, Lieutenant Commander Jody LaForge, LeVar Burton. Representing Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Lieutenant Dax Terry Farrell. Representing Star Trek Voyager 7 of 9, Jerry Ryan. Representing Star Trek Enterprise, Lieutenant Hoshi Sato, Linda Park. Representing Star Trek Discovery, co-creator and executive producer Alex Kurtzman. And representing Strange New Worlds and Civilizations, a Kelpian and a Klingon. And to accept the Governor's Award on behalf of CBS Television Studios, representing the current and the original series are, from Star Trek Discovery, Michael Burnham, Sonequa Martin-Green, and from the original series, Captain James T. Kirk, William Shatner.
The teleprompter. Thank you. Thank you so much. 52 years. What a gift. We're grateful. To live in this story and this historic moment, Star Trek has endured because it represents an ideal, one that's greater than the sum of our parts. The hope of Star Trek is not just that it shows us what we can be tomorrow, but the real hope is how it's been embraced. We watch and we reach to see the best version of ourselves. Thank you to all the souls who have reached out over all these years, maybe give love and keep hope. There is a possibility in the chaos we reach, and we will rise together. Star Trek is a phenomenon. It is also a universe. 52 years in existence, billions of people entertained. We will never see its like. I accept this award on behalf of all the artists who have worked to make Star Trek a success. Those people, thank you. Those people who are with us and those that have passed on, and also CBS. I accept this award with honor. Thank you.